Good evening. I'd like to, on behalf of our Lord and Savior, welcome you here this evening, and also on behalf of my brothers. We have Brother Randy bringing our invocation this evening, and Brother Steve bringing our, I'm sorry, got that backwards. Anyway, our brothers, and Brother Joe has got the responsibility of bringing our message today, and we ask that you would hold him up in your prayers. I'd also like to thank Susan for her preparation, and I'd come a little early this evening. I thought I'd sneak in and get a few minutes of quiet, and she was already here playing when I got here, and I thank you for the music and enjoyed it. And I went on a personal level. I'd like to ask prayers for Shelby. She's feeling a little under the weather today, and would ask you to remember her in your prayers. I don't know if you had an opportunity this morning to be in here when the young people were promoted their classes, but that was enjoyable to see them up here and to share in that. And we had a really good class with Brother Steve today. I look forward to more of his classes as he continues to share. This evening I selected a scripture out of Colossians. And our brother Paul had some pretty good insight. And I spent quite a bit of time yesterday afternoon searching through the scriptures, and I've got a program on the computer I use and cheat with, and I couldn't find a thing. I got to tell you, I struggled, and Shelby called for dinner, and I went up and had dinner, and I said, and she was going to bring dinner down. I said, no, I'll come up, and I said, be fine, I'll come up and have dinner and go back down. And I did, and I walked down, and I opened the scriptures up, and there was my scripture I want to share with you this evening. Again, from Colossians. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Let's continue with singing hymn number 32, after which our brother will bring a prayer. Thank you.
We come before you, praising your name for your goodness and for the love that you have for us and for your mighty works. We praise you for this gospel and for blessing each and every one of us according to our needs and for watching over us and preserving our lives. And Father, we pray that your Spirit will move amongst the people this night, that we all might all know of your presence here, that we might all desire to serve you and have a closer walk to you. Father, we pray that you'll bless Joe tonight, that he might be able to tell those things which have been placed upon his heart, and that you'll bless him in the sermon that he gives, and that you'll bless Randy with his prayer. We pray that you'll bless Dan as he leads his service, Susan as she plays the music, and pray that you'll be with each and every one, that our hearts might be touched. And we pray for those who are sick and can't be here, that you'll remember them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for being here. I appreciate your love and support and your prayers. My scripture reading comes from Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts from the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Let's continue now with singing hymn number 316, 316.
Deep breath. Hey, I wanted to thank everybody for being here. In the past, I'd always heard that the Spirit puts all this together. And I've heard members of the priesthood get up here and say how things just, well, they just happened. Well, from the time I got here this morning for Steve Willey's class to Ed Turner talking to what I'm going to say to the music Dan picked out, and I haven't communicated with any of these guys. It's all been the same thing. I mean, that song was just what I just read. Put on the armor of God. And it was 3:16 in our hymnal. And John 3:16, you know, God gave his only son, right? I'm just so honored and privileged that the Lord's put all today together. And I thank you guys. And I'm going to speak on how football and the gospel are a parallel for me. And at this point, I literally could go around and just high-five everybody. I was listening to that music, which was beautiful, and I think of a football game. And I think of back when I was a player, and even when I watch them to this day, how they stand, not kneel, but they stand, and they pledge allegiance to our God as they sing our national anthem. And what pride that you feel being an American and being a Christian, which is what our country's founded on. Growing up, I was one of four boys. My parents divorced when I was in second grade, which is how old my daughter Reagan is right now. And my mother always worked. She worked the night shift at the hospital as an RN nurse. And us boys, we had sports. That pretty much took the place of our dad. And we play. I mean, if there was a ball, we were playing a sport. We'd make something up. We spent nights at the wiffle ball, at the tennis court, playing wiffle ball at night as long as they'd leave the lights on. And about every hour, we have to go and click the lights because they'd automatically shut off. But football was the biggest sport I felt in my life. And I was in junior high, and I got two older brothers and one younger brother. Well, my second oldest brother was All-State, All-American quarterback. He was, you name a big coach, he was at our house trying to recruit my brother to play football. And I was in eighth grade, and my best friend was a quarterback, and so I was going to play fullback. And I got the number 44, and I didn't know what a blessing that was, because Mark Stanky was number 44, which is the cousin to Beth and me and the family. But I was fullback for about three plays. We'd ran the ball down. We were playing Fort Scott, Kansas. Grew up in Chanute. We went down to the one-yard line, and my best friend was quarterbacking, and he fumbled. The other team got the ball. I was quarterback the rest of my time. That game, I was number 44 at quarterback. But the next game, they gave me the number 16, which was the number my brother Jeff wore when he was in junior high. And Joe Montana, that was the big number to have, because that was Joe Montana's number. And we always, you know, go Joe. This summer, I had, it was pressed upon me by the Lord what my next sermon would be about. And I went home and I told Beth and Courtney what he had shared with me. And it's based on it was a sacrament service, and I was I was up here, had the privilege to serve communion. I'd gotten down on my knee for the blessing over the bread. And that still small voice reached out to me and he said, "Joe, I healed your other knee. Get on both knees and praise me." So I did. After that service, and I got on both of them during the wine too. Don't kid yourself. After that service, I had Randy came up to me after the service, and he said, "Joe," he goes, "man, I felt a heat come from you." And he goes, "and then it dawned on me, it wasn't you. It was the Holy Spirit." And I was so humbled by him, A, being here, but Randy sharing his testimony. This past February of this year, we went down to Orlando, Florida as a family, celebrate EJ's 80th birthday. And my sisters had hunted down the best deal in probably the state of Florida. We'd gotten a resort, and this resort had a water park. And we've got the kids, and it had big slides, and it had the lazy river, and it had a lot of amenities. And I'm 51, and I'll never not play with the kids. My testimony on that is I've got two uncles that were Air Force pilots and served in the wars and all that, but I don't know if they were too old. I never knew my uncles. They were just too busy at the time. And I promised God a long time ago I wouldn't be that uncle. I wouldn't be that dad to not play with the kids. And I think I get as much out of them as they get out of me, so if not more. We'd gone to this water park, and we'd done these big rides and done the thing, and I've always been kind of reluctant on my knee. I had surgery back in 99, and the kids talked me into going on a surf machine. It's one of those, it makes a wave, and the waves, I don't even know how mild, it's going to 50, 60 miles an hour. It's a pretty powerful wave. And we'd gotten on there, and I had Courtney, Chad, Tim, Maggie, Claire, Jack, and Reagan, and I all tried this surf machine. I didn't want to be the one left out. So Reagan gets hurt right off the bat. And soon we did a little ride on our tummies, and then they took us up over the top of the wave, and you jumped in. Well, I jumped in, and I smashed my knee on this bar that the water goes over just as hard as I could possibly do it. I knew instantly I'd messed up, and I was going to be hurting. But I didn't want to be a party pooper. I, didn't want the kids to go, Joe's over here with ice on his knee. So we continued to ride rides and do the lazy river and swim in the pool. And the next day we went to Kennedy Space Center, and I toughed it out. But when we got back home, my knee was pretty bad. And I thought, I've iced my knee before when it's hurt. I just got to get home and ice my knee, and I know what I'm doing. Tiffany, you've been through the knee thing. I iced my knee for a couple months. Everything I know to do. I even went to heat and then ice. I mean, I tried everything, and it wasn't happening. And the reason I thought I could do it myself was, A, pride. And I'd been praying about it. But fear had overtaken me. I thought, I don't want to go to the doctor. He's going to tell me I need surgery because the pain was that bad. And I went to the doctor, prayed about it. I was administered to, and which is just one of the best ordinances you can have. I went to the doctor, and he goes, your knee's okay. He goes, all you got to do is take some anti-inflammatory pills and come see me in 4 weeks, and I expect you're going to tell me you're back to normal. And I thought about what the words that he said was, I expect. And when I had that administration, I should have listened to the Lord and expected him to have healed me and that everything was going to be okay. So for that, I apologize to him, and I know I have a lot of work to do. But going forward, I'm going to leave the extreme sports to my brother-in-law, Chad. Courtney, you can have the reins to that. I think we all learned a valuable lesson. And when Chad turns 50, well, maybe I can have that talk with him. I had last communion. I had an experience when the service was over. That Dan Walker had come up to me, and he said, "Hey, I'll be praying for you for your sermon next week." And I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, you're on the schedule." I said, "I'm not preaching next Sunday." And he said, "Oh yeah, you better check it out." Well, panic hit my mind, and I did that nervous laugh that you do when you're just really not sure of something. And I'm generally laughing anyway, so take that. But after church, my wife had reminded me. She said, "Joe, you told me a while ago that you knew what your next sermon would be on. Don't you remember?" And as we all know, there's no consequences. I mean, coincidences. It's interesting how the last time I got up here to preach, had the honor of preaching, it was Super Bowl Sunday. And being a big football guy, the Lord's doing a mighty work when he takes probably the biggest football guy in the church. And you got me preaching on Super Bowl Sunday, and it was the night service. And, Super Bowl starts at 5, and I was very honored, and I was blessed enough to listen to him and to be able to do that. And here it is again. Football season just started. This was day one of the NFL. And Chiefs are on and everything else, and I'm up here preaching. So it's just our spiritual journey with the Lord, being the least of, or at least I feel like I'm the least of the priesthood members. For God to use me in his ministry is beyond anything I can say. I think it's just something that he puts on your heart and that you feel. The correlations with football. In football, we're taught the fundamentals like blocking, running, catching the ball, throwing the ball from a young age to you never stop practicing those things. In the gospel, we are taught the fundamentals of the gospel, like in the six principles of the gospel. And they are faith towards God, repentance, baptism by immersion of water, the laying on of hands to receive the Holy Ghost, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And I want to read from Hebrew 6, 1 and 2. And Paul says this: "Therefore, not leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. And we will go on to perfection if God permit." In football, there's a quarterback and there's 10 other players. They make a huddle. In that huddle, a quarterback looks up at those 10 players. He looks them in the eye and he gives them the play to run, and he gives them the count it's on. Those 10 men listen and they accept that play. They run that play. And my experience when I was in high school, I went from the Chinook, Kansas to Pittsburgh, Kansas. And as far as the technology and coaching, it was day and night. It was so much better. It was a bigger school. And I went to the coach, and I said, "Coach, Chinook's going to kill us," because I'd seen the guys in the weight room. And I said, "This is our team." And he goes, "I'll bet you." He goes, he had a real deep voice. He'd, "Hey, Joe, I'll tell you what. I'll bet you a steak dinner we beat Chinook." And I said, "You're on." And we beat them 21-7 in the sub-state game to move on to the state championship. But in football, you lift weights, you run, you practice. For 2 weeks, we practiced the 12 dive, which is just a handoff, in the 12 gap, which is between the center and the guard. And we practiced the 13 dive, which is between the center and the guard on the left. That simple. As ironic as it was, because I moved schools, they made me the running back. So I was actually getting to be the running back from eighth grade. Later on, I ended up being he let me choose, and I chose to be free safety. But we practiced those two plays for 2 weeks. And one time I said, "Coach," I said, "are we going to run any other plays?" And he goes, "No." He goes, "No, we're going to run these for 2 weeks." He goes, "Because when it comes game time, you are going to know without a shadow of a doubt what the 12 dive is and what the 13 dive is, and we're going to run plays off of those." I said, "Yes, sir." And we did it. And when it came game time, we knew it. You don't have to think about it. And I think of the way our Lord is with the gospel. We have the playbooks. These playbooks don't ever have to be adjusted. And we have to practice them over and over. It might be the same scripture 2 weeks in a row. When we're playing football, if we run those plays to perfection, we win the game. We gain the first down. And we have a team. Well, that team, everyone has to be ready to play. We've got, we call them bench warmers, backup players. Well, if I get hurt, someone's got to come in for me. And we do things that there's a saying called next man up. I changed it to say next player up. If we don't get the plays off in time, or we do an illegal block, there's penalties. And sometimes we miss plays. Sometimes we fumble. We can jump off sides. But what you do is you get up off the ground and you start over. In the gospel, God is the coach and Jesus is the quarterback. As an example, Jesus called his 12 disciples to be on his team. And like my brother Ed said this morning, the call has gone out, and it continues to go out. Each one of us are called. We are called to be on his team, to go out and share his gospel to the world. Share the playbook, these three standard books, which there's really nothing standard about them. These books are amazing. Jesus is calling us to strive for perfection, calling us to know and have wisdom about the plays in the books. In football, when a player gives an audible, they are changing the play at the line of scrimmage, and they're changing the play the coach called. But we can't do audibles in the gospel. The plays and follow the spirit of man, we have to follow the plays that are given. Jesus is the example we strive for, and he encourages us. Unlike football, his plays do not change because they are perfect. As a follower of Christ, we have been prepared that we have been united in faith, love, charity, and humility. We have to keep our eye on him. Sin is when we fumble or misapply. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we are allowed the opportunity to repent and start over. Every day we are here on this earth, God is allowing us time to learn his plays and to keep trying. Keep practicing and keep striving for perfection. I was reminded just today when I was watching the Chiefs game, and a guy goes, "Boy, they executed that play well." And I told my wife, I go, "Execute? There's a word. As the priesthood, we have to execute this gospel to perfection. We have to strive for that." I've watched a lot of movies, mainly sports movies. There's a movie called Remember the Titans. In this movie, there's a defensive, toward the end of the game, there's a defensive coach. It's a championship game. And he says, "I did not ask for your excuses. I don't want them to gain another yard. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans." Each of us needs to remember forever what Jesus did for us on the cross and the covenant that we have made with him, and stop making excuses and run the plays that he's called. Jesus cannot be defeated, and the defense, they cannot stop Jesus. In football, there is a yellow flag that is thrown to show a penalty when it occurs. Every time we sin, Jesus has already picked up that flag. He's already picked up our sin. He's waved it off. He paid that price by going to the cross and dying for us. Because Jesus has made that sacrifice. He made it for us, and he is our advocate for us and our Heavenly Father. Jesus unites us. In the Doctrine and Covenants, in section 50, 8, F and G, "And the Father and I are one. I am in the Father, and the Father in me, insomuch as ye have received me. Ye are in me, and I in you. Wherefore, I am in your midst, and I am the good shepherd, the stone of Israel. He that abideth this rock shall never fall. And the day cometh that you shall hear my voice and see me, and know that I am. Watch, therefore, that ye may be ready. Even so, amen." Let us focus on Jesus. Let us run his plays Let us execute his plays, which are our scriptures. Let us listen and let us follow his directions. Let us be ready and go work for him. And in closing, I would like us all to be united together and say the Lord's and pray in the Lord's Prayer. Would you please join with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Suffer us not to be led into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. I thank you all for coming. I hope that you continue to pray for us and our family and us with you, and let's be united and let's go out and do his good work.
Thank you, Joe. We'll conclude our service by singing of hymn number 208, after which Brother Randy will bring the benediction. Number 208.
O God, the eternal Father, in the holy and precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we have come before you of having participated in true worship, having received the word from on high, having received instruction and strengthening from the very courts of glory. Dear Heavenly Father, the crown indeed waits the conquest, and we are very few, and we are very weak. We ask, O Lord, for the willingness to look at your face, to keep our focus on your face, and not be intimidated by the world and by the forces that surround us that will appear to be overwhelming. Help us to focus on you. focus on your word and use the great and mighty weapons of war that you've given to us and the great and powerful tools that you have given to us, and to use them, to learn to use them, O Lord, and to make them second nature so that we don't even think about them. We do them over and over and over and over again. And as we do these things, O Lord, help us to learn from experience how great Thou art. Help us to learn, O Lord, as we see Your promises fulfilled in our lives, as we diligently seek to do what You've told us to do. As we go from here, O Lord, we go back out to the world. And I would ask that You'd be with each one of us, that we would take the things that we've learned here, the things that we have learned all day, the things that we have built on for a lifetime, and continue to incorporate those things into our lives and build that solid foundation that is going to be necessary when You move. Because we know that when You move, You're going to move in power. And we need to have a very, very strong, powerful foundation under us to be able to endure that great movement of Your Spirit. Be with us now, O Lord, and strengthen us in Your word. Strengthen us by Your might. Strengthen us in the Spirit, O Lord. Encourage us. There are many here today, tonight, that are going through great suffering. We pray, O Lord, that You would give them light and truth so that by the simplicity of the truth, they may begin to overcome, that Your name and Your name alone may be glorified. In all of this we ask in the precious and mighty everlasting name of He who dwells on high at the right hand of power and is set down at the right hand of glory. And His name is Jesus Christ, and He is the Son of the living God. Amen and amen.